A new study looks at how long Wisconsinites are living and how healthy we are. And the short answer here is that we are living longer, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're in better health.
Joining us now to discuss the new report is Karen Timberlake. She's director of the UW Population Health Institute, which produced the Wisconsin Health Trends Progress Report. Karen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things you measured in the Wisconsin Health Trends Progress Report is how long we're living in Wisconsin. So what's that overall big picture trend looking like?
I would say overall the big picture trend on length of life is that people in Wisconsin are generally living longer. We look at a variety of snapshots of rates of death, and we particularly want to focus on things like premature death rates and certainly deaths of children and very young adults. And what we see there is overall premature death, which we consider any kind of death before age 75, that trend is generally moving in the right direction. Same thing for infants and same thing for people between ages 1 and 24. So overall, those are positive indicators.
We'll dig down into some of the numbers behind that. But another big picture item, that doesn't necessarily mean we're also healthier, even though we're living longer. Why is that?
Exactly. And that's really one of the key takeaways in this report. So for many years now, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, has been asking people all across the country, including in Wisconsin, on average, would you rate your health as excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor? And what we see in Wisconsin is a really troubling trend of adults who are reporting their health as being no better than fair or poor. And on the one hand, you might say, well, you're going to just talk to people on the phone, and maybe they're having a bad day. You know, how do we know that this is really reliable data? It's been checked and double-checked over the years, and people who report their health as only fair or poor are much more likely to experience premature death of the type we were just talking about wanting to avoid, and they also are much more likely to have chronic diseases and otherwise be in bad health. So this turns out to be a pretty reliable and very concerning indicator.
And this, yeah, and more of us are saying we're feeling bad. Do we have any idea why that would be?
You know, getting underneath those numbers would require, obviously, quite a bit of additional work. But what we can see overall from the trends is that certainly rates of many kinds of common chronic diseases are on the rise, so obesity being probably the easiest one to point to in our own data. We also know that people experience a high degree of stress, and that often expresses itself in self-reported fair and poor health. And so what we know is that this tells us that we have more to do to understand why people are not feeling better and what we can do about that.
An interesting thing about this report as a whole is it's a multi-year thing. You're looking at 19, I think it was, different areas, hoping for a 1% improvement. That seems pretty modest from year to year up to the year 2020, I think it was. So how are we doing overall? Are we meeting our goals in Wisconsin to get a little bit healthier each year?
Right. And so I like this report because it's really easy to see at a glance over a 10-year period of time, is the state, in terms of health, headed in the right direction, or are we on the wrong track? You know, if you think about all of the political prognosticating that's going on, this is kind of our right direction, wrong track report for health. And what I would say is it's a mixed picture. So, you know, things like obesity continues to be a challenge in our state. On the bright side, we're actually seeing some positive progress in terms of excessive drinking, which tends to be one of those health risk factors where Wisconsin leads the nation in all the wrong categories. And then by the same token, when you look at some of the things that really influence health that we might not think about, so things like high school graduation and unemployment and child poverty, there we have also some cause for concern.
And this report seems like it could help us really target public health efforts. One thing that struck me, smoking generally going down, good news. But for people, I think it was without high school degrees, smoking rates four times higher than college graduates. So does that help us craft a plan? Like, okay, here's the audience we need to reach with our anti-smoking programs?
Yep, that's really a great point. So two things to highlight there. One is certainly this report is a call to action for people in the public health community, but it's really a call to action for everyone who cares about the health of our population. And that really should be everybody. So people's health matters to employers, it matters to government programs, it matters to their ability to be good parents and good citizens. So this really is an issue of concern to our whole state. And then just to your point on smoking in particular, we see, you know, really a 2% increase year over year in smoking rates, so heading very much in the wrong direction for people with less than a high school degree. So that's exactly right. It tells us that what we've done to reach college graduates and get them, you know, at smoking at less than 10% on average now, that's a wild success, but we're completely failing in our efforts to reach people who have not completed high school, and that's a, you know, significant number of people in the state, so we need to do better.
Another target area for a number of these issues, urban areas, for some of these measures are doing noticeably worse than the rest of the state.
Right. And what we see, of course, is that sometimes in the more urban parts of the state and also the more rural parts of the state, that can correlate with higher rates of poverty. And one thing we know is that poverty is closely associated with being in worse health status overall. Not 100% doesn't mean that everyone living in poverty is going to be in bad health. But we do know that on average, we need to do more and do better, not only to address the health concerns of people living in poverty, but to work on poverty itself as that underlying driver of poor health.
Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Karen Timberlake of the UW Population Health Institute about the state of Wisconsinites' health. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. What do you think is driving the trend of residents of our state stopping smoking? Some good news of being less healthy, more obesity on the bad side. Is there a reason we haven't been able to reverse these increasing levels of obesity? What makes being healthy a challenge for you? What do you see in your community that you think could make a big difference when it came to people's health? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with Karen Timberlake. She's director of the UW Population Health Institute, which produced the recent Wisconsin Health Trends 2015 Progress Report. Look at why we as a state are not as healthy as we could be, despite the fact that overall we're living a little longer. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Tim on the line in Menominee. Tim, hi.
Hi. A little bit about me. I'm a 31-year-old heart attack survivor. And something that I heard in the office a while back made me perk up and pay attention. It's that since low fat has become more popular, which increased the sugar in our diet, the incidence of heart attack has actually gone up. But we haven't noticed it as much because doctors have gotten better at fixing people's heart attacks. I'm wondering if there's any data in that might ferret that out.
Tim, thanks for the call. Always happy to help people ferret things out. But Karen, I don't know if you want to get into the low-fat diet and heart attacks thing. You're welcome to. But also, is part of our longer lifespan about better medical care, better medical technology, and maybe access to medical care?
Right. I think Tim makes an excellent point, and certainly we're glad to hear that he's a survivor of a very scary event, mm-hmm. I'm sure. So he makes an excellent point that we've made incredible medical advances in this country and really in the world. And, you know, think about what was possible just 100 years ago for people as compared to what's possible today. So again, we can keep people alive. The question is, how do they feel and what kind of disease burden are they living with? Because part of what we know from our work here at the Population Health Institute is if you look overall at how long people are living and how healthy they would say they are, the research suggests that at best, access to health care and the kind of health care you get influences about 20% of those results. And everything else, your health choices, the health behaviors, your education level, your income level, the physical environment you're living in, clean air, clean water, all of those things make up 80% of how long and how well we live. So on the one hand, that might seem, you know, sort of intuitive to people. On the other hand, you know, we spend a lot of time and energy thinking about health and going right to a conversation about health care when really it's all those other things in our lives and our neighborhoods and our communities and our workplaces that are really driving how healthy we are.
Tim, thanks for your call and good luck to you. And Karen, you mentioned poverty. You mentioned some of these social and economic factors, and you actually rated some of those. You rate those each year in this annual report. What are some of the areas that that this report focuses on?
Yep, we really do want to focus on what we call those social and economic factors, because, again, the literature tells us that that's about 40% of what determines how long and how well people live. So we look at things like the rate of high school dropout. We look at unemployment. We look at at child poverty. We look at the violent crime rate, because obviously people who don't feel safe in their neighborhoods are not going to feel inclined to go out and take a walk. And what you can see if you look closely at the data is, of course, a lot of these numbers do bounce around quite a lot over the last decade. On balance, though, if you take sort of the best fit look at the numbers, the trends are all heading in the wrong direction. So we have increasing high school dropouts, increasing unemployment at over a decade, although the last couple of years it looks better, and overall increasing child poverty, which is of particular concern. Children live in families, so that means we have a lot of families in our state living in poverty, and that percentage continues to grow.
So all those things have a negative health impact that you just mentioned, but they're really kind of out of the hands of, you know, healthcare providers, the public health community, the individuals themselves. So who needs to be at the table? Who needs to be part of a collaboration to tackle those as public health issues?
Well, it's interesting. So you might say they're out of the hands of any one of those groups of people individually, right? So what can a health system do about high school graduation rates? By itself, nothing. But what we're seeing around the state and around the country is at a community level, all of those groups you mentioned, so healthcare, public health, business leaders, local government, individuals themselves, are coming together to say, hey, in our community, we want more kids graduating from high school. Or in our community, we want more five-year-olds entering kindergarten ready to learn. What can we all do? And while no one person, no one organization holds the silver bullet solution, there actually are things that each of those sectors acting in a coordinated way together can do to move the needle. And that's really some of the exciting work in health improvement.
And are you hoping that this annual report you do will inspire people at the state level and in these local communities to do these kind of collaborations?
Absolutely. We think it's really important to keep track of our progress. You know, it's one thing to look at a snapshot of data, but, you know, one data point is one data point, and it doesn't really help you sort of widen the lens out and step back and say, all right, overall, maybe we had a bad year, but overall, how are we doing on something like obesity or smoking or high school graduation? And when we see a trend that's positive, even if we have a bad year, we can say, well, you know, in general, we should keep doing what we're doing. But where we see these trends that are negative, that really should cause all leaders in whatever sector in our state to ask themselves what they can be doing differently, because continuing to do what we're doing is going to get us more of the same result.
Karen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for your interest.
That's Karen Timberlake, director of the UW Population Health Institute. They produced the new Wisconsin Health Trends 2015 Progress Report.